been around the world a little bit, Yasmin.
We have.
Where would you say had the best metal bar or like rock bar or of all of like across the globe ever?
I mean, Emo Night was pretty cool.
That's what I was thinking.
Emo Night was like, oh, you just had all the best people there. And there was like so many like weird moments at Emo Night that I think about to this day where I'm like, oh my God, that was so crazy. Emo Night was pretty cool. I really like Manchester. Manchester's also very cool.
Used to be a really famous rock metal bar in London called the Crowbar, and it shut down, unfortunately. But that was pretty epic because it was the worst dive bar you've ever seen. But like Dave Grohl used to go there. Even Justin Bieber went there when he came through London.
Oh my God. Like, that's Birmingham Subside, that is. Birmingham, God bless you, Subside. Such a fucking dive. But everyone goes there. Every band goes there because it's across from the Institute, so... God bless. Oh,
I'm curious. I want people to send us the best venues from across the world so that we can make a list of the places you have to visit.
Yeah, where's your metal or alternative dive bars? It can be emo, it can be rock, it can be metal, it can be anything alternative. Yeah, send it our way. I need to like collate a list of places.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's dive! And welcome to On Wednesdays We Wear Black with me, Sophie Kay, and Yasmin Suman.
Hi.
Hi. So this week, we are circling back on this topic that we talked about before. This is an episode about gatekeeping. Gatekeeping, because that topic is coming up more and more and more at the moment. And we've spoken about it in the sense that people have been trying to gatekeep with us, which I find hilarious, by the way. Because I've had like teenagers try and educate me on metal and rock from the years that I grew up. And then I'm like, you weren't even born. And you're trying to tell me about bands. And I'm like, please.
I think it's really interesting that gatekeeping goes so many ways. And sometimes I support it and sometimes I don't. So this is going to be an interesting video.
It is interesting because it's like gatekeeping has this stereotype of being older dudes, right? Gatekeeping the music. I don't even feel like, I personally don't feel like they're the problem at the moment. They seem to have kind of learned a little bit. I feel like the young'uns are, like the old dudes are still doing their old dude thing, but the young'uns are a real issue. So,
it's just everyone's become a terrible, 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 terrible gatekeeper.
What is this about? Like, everything seems worse than ever. So let's start at the top. If you don't know what gatekeeping is, Yasmin, how would you define gatekeeping within music?
Gatekeeping it comes from the term the keeper of the gate. It's like someone who stands in front of a gate with a key and won't let you in unless you look a certain way or you say a certain password or whatever. And in the sense of music, that's a terrible analogy, in the sense of music, it's where people say that you can't enjoy something, you can't enjoy a certain genre of music, a certain band, unless you look a certain way, have a certain extent of knowledge, or just present in a certain way that seems socially and societally acceptable to them.
Very good. Wow. Yasmin, it's just like, if you've ever seen the film Old School, you'll recognise Yasmin having their moment. Because I don't know where that came from. That was intense, Yasmin.
That was the last brain cell I had left.
So I had a look, Yasmin, for some of the best/worst examples of gatekeeping.
Okay.
So we're going to start with this one, right?
Oh, God, okay.
Rob Zombie. He posted a picture of him with Baby Metal holding the Baby Metal, like a flag, Baby Metal flag up. Adorable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he put backstage with my new pals, Baby Metal.
Slay.
What a sweet, sweet post. Like,
slay.
There is no need to hate on that whatsoever. Unless...
unless
you are this person on Facebook. You can tell it's Facebook. Facebook is the worst, by the way. There's a bad thing. Are you kidding me, Rob? Baby Metal is J-pop, not metal, but each to their own, I guess. And somebody else said, they are awful. This is lame. I love you, Rob, but shame on you. Right. I'm going to tell you Rob's responses.
Okay.
To the one that said they're J-pop, not metal, Rob Zombie said, these three girls had more energy than 90% of the bands we play with. To the person that said, they're awful, I love you, but shame on you, he said, they roll harder than you. And to the person said, I'm a grown man and this makes me want to cry. Baby metal is shameful embarrassment to anything metal. Their alleged music makes me want to kill things. Rob replied, hey, they are nice kids out on the road touring. What are you doing besides being a grumpy old fuck? Yes, Rob Zombie. Yes, Rob Zombie. Yes.
I love Rob Zombie. I feel like Rob Zombie's just such a wholesome guy.
He's just like, yeah. He's seen it. He's experienced it. He knows what's going on. He is like a dude. Oh my gosh.
What? I love you, Rob Zombie.
Do you know what? I'll be honest with you here. I'm not the biggest fan of... I'm a fan of baby metal. They're not my go-to to listen to when I'm chilling at home.
I love baby metal.
I love what they stand for.
Up? Do you know what's fucked up? The amount of times people be like, oh, you look like you're in baby metal. And I'm like, is it because I'm Asian? And then people reply and be like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm not even...
Wow.
I'm not even the same Asian as them.
You're in the same flavour of Asian. Asia is a big place, folks. I'm in the same flavour as Asian.
Asia's fucking huge. People... I had someone be like, isn't India in the Middle East? I'm like, no. And also, the Middle East is also in Asia. But yeah... Yeah,
wow.
But because I have pigtails and I'm also Asian, I guess I'm baby metal. What's up, guys?
Wow.
I'm the new baby metal. It's like Sleep Token, but people don't know that I'm also another member of baby metal.
India and Japan, they're same, right?
Yeah, the same. I love this conversation about gatekeeping because I feel like there's, like, even just Googling it and researching for this episode, so much stuff came up.
So much stuff. There is so much stuff out there because... I don't know why there's this thing about trying to take away from people who are... And, like, I love what baby metal did. They have advanced the metal genre. They opened up doors for other bands from across Asia. They opened up a whole new world to America, the UK, Europe, where a lot of metal bands do tour. And I'm here for it. Like, shout out them. Pioneers breaking through,
right? Did you have another one? Because I've got some things.
I've got loads more, but you go next if you want.
Okay, so you're gonna hate me for this. Uh-oh. I actually wrote a piece on gatekeeping for Loudwire.
Of course, so you did.
That's not
the kind of thing I would say. I actually interviewed the gatekeeper, Yasmin.
I actually wrote a piece about this. So in 2021, I forgot I wrote this. In 2021, I wrote a piece called Elitist Gatekeeping Bring Me the Horizon Can Actually Teach Us a Lesson. And it was during that era where Bring Me the Horizon released Post-Human Survival Horror. And I feel like that album kind of... put them properly, like solidified them in the mainstream. Ammo was like a transition album from That's the Spirit, but Post-Human Survival Horror was their like mainstream, like radio success, right? So there was this weird kind of like elitism within the Bring Me the Horizon fandom. So like older fans would be making fun of newer fans for getting into Bring Me the Horizon and their newer stuff because they'd be like, oh yeah, I love Doomed, yeah. Oh, I love, no, what's a new Bring Me the Horizon song? I love Dark Side. And then they go to the concert and they hear them play, you know, Count Your Blessings, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah, I remember that.
the pits are crazy. And it's like, okay, but yeah, probably people who are getting into Bring Me the Horizon now haven't heard their older music that's a bit heavier and might be surprised when they go to a show and there's a mosh pit. But also, why are you making fun of them for that? Most of the people getting into Bring Me the Horizon now weren't born when Pray for Plagues and Count Your Blessings came out.
But also, you're very right, Yasmin. And is it not a great opportunity for them to learn more about heavy music and maybe have Bring Me the Horizon as their transition band?
Also, like, firstly, that, but like, there's so much weird elitism with bands like this. Like, Bring Me the Horizon with a band that everyone bullied you for listening to, going, that's not real heavy. So I'll never understand why the older fans who were bullied for listening to Bring Me the Horizon because they weren't heavy enough are now bullying newer Bring Me the Horizon fans because they don't know the heavier stuff. Bring Me the Horizon's first album technically was a deathcore album. It fucking sucked, right? Like, in the deathcore scene at the time, it really wasn't that great. The production value wasn't great. His screams weren't that great. Suicide Season is a great album, and I think it's a really great example of 2010's metalcore, and, like, the screams on it are really solid. And, yeah, it's a heavy album. It's not the heaviest album to ever exist, okay? Like, it's not like, death metal. There's some hooky choruses in there, okay, guys? Chill the fuck out. But I never understand why people who were bullied for liking something now gatekeep it from people trying to get into it. And it's the same with, like, alternative music. When newer people like Gen Z are trying to get into alternative music, I find the millennials are always like, well, these are the kids that would have bullied me for getting into alternative music. How dare they do it? And it's like, okay, are you suggesting we just start bullying people again?
Do you know what else as well, Yasmin? I find it really bizarre. Like, okay, so you don't like this new song. Maybe you don't like this new song from the band. I don't know. Maybe you don't like Darkside. So not that you should take it out on the band. I 100% don't think you should, but... So instead of being angry at the band, you're angry at the people who are listening to it? That doesn't make sense. To me, it just sounds like wanting to pick on people who present as women.
I have a hot take to say.
That's what I think it is.
I feel like a lot of people who gatekeep stuff because they were bullied in high school for enjoying it and now it's popular are just taking out their own frustrations and their own trauma on other people.
100%. 100%.
I'm sorry that you were bullied in high school for listening to Bring Me the Horizon. So was I. That doesn't mean I want people to get bullied now for listening to them. I want people to enjoy it because I've been to therapy and I don't need other people to suffer in the same way that I did just for their interest to be validated.
Do you know what, Yasmin? Yes, agreed. I've also got something to one-up you that I saw on TikTok. You've just reminded me of a TikTok I saw. And it was this podcast. And the guy in it was saying... Basically, when you're gatekeeping or leaving negative comments online, you're basically showing yourself up as ugly. Yeah. Because how many times have you seen somebody attractive go to social media and start hating on everything? They don't, because they're too busy enjoying life. And loving life.
Bitches, okay? And living their life and being happy.
So if you're hating... The likelihood is you're A, unhappy, and B, ugly. So if you're hating, you need to really check yourself, because like Craig Reynolds said on our podcast from Downbeat, he was like, it's not hard to not be ugly. Just get a decent haircut.
Find a decent barber, man. Find a decent barber. That just reminded me, here's a millennial reference for you. How are you going to hate from outside the club? You can't even get in. Boom, boom.
Okay, I've got another example here for you, Yasmin. I can't see who posted this one, so I'm not going to say their name.
Okay.
Somebody posted, stop giving the horns if you're not metal. The next person I see giving the horns, I'm going to ask them to name the 7th track on Slayer's Reign in Blood, and if they answer anything but Reborn, I'm going to punch them in the face.
I'm putting up the devil horns. Oh no! Like, what are they gonna do? Do you know what I think is funny? Do you know what I actually think is funny? And people, metalhead gets so pissed off at this that I do it on purpose. So, like, when you do the devil horns, which is where you, like, do a hand gesture.
Don't tell me you stick your thumb.
Yeah, where it makes it look like you've got 2 devil horns. Sometimes I stick my thumb out. And no. The amount of metalheads who are like, no, put your thumb in. That's the sign language sign for I love you or some shit like that. I'm like, oh my God, I had no idea. Just because I love pissing them off. I know that this is different to this and I'm doing the thumb in, thumb out. I know that a thumb in and a thumb out is a different thing, right? But I still do it just to annoy them because it's funny. Like, imagine
you're
giving
a troll.
Shit. Imagine when, giving a shit.
When will people realise that most of the content you create is to piss people off, and through their comments and through their whatever, you get more traction and you just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you get to see the audience who need to find you more and more. When are people going to realise by hating they're helping you grow?
I posted a Nut Loose video the other day of Girly Pop dancing to the new Nut Loose song, and the amount of people who were like, this is sick, this is disgusting, and were like, you wouldn't last a day in the pit. Okay, I've been... Do you know what? The reason I don't feel the need to prove myself is because I went to... I used to pit a lot when I was a teenager, and I'll never forget, I used to have the scar here, but it's healed. When I was like 14, I went to a black metal show, and some guy in the pit picked me up, threw me to the ground, and I cut my arm open on somebody's spike on their boot. And ever since then, I've been like, yeah, I would survive in the pit. I would be fine.
That's also not cool.
It was funny at the time, though. It was funny.
I asked him to do it, though.
I was like,
oh, okay, fair.
Yeah, pick me up. And he was like, what do you want me to do? Throw you with the crown? No, throw me on the floor. And he was like, okay. Yeah, no, 14-year-old me was lawless, but I'm so sorry that me girly pop dancing has ruined Nut Loose. I'm so sorry. Nut Loose, this is my personal apology. I'm so sorry that I twerked to Counting Worms and it ruined Counting Worms. I've ruined it. I'm a poser. I'm the worst person ever. I'm basically like committing acts of terror just by throwing some ass. I'm awful. Ugh.
You're an actual troll, and I love seeing you wind people up.
I don't think people realise, I don't give a shit how you enjoy music. Like, I don't care if you twerk to music or you mosh to music. I do both. But the way that people get so pressed, like, people have come up to me, IRL, at concerts and been like, oh, you're the stupid Slipknot twerking girl. And I'm like, yeah, and? And what?
And what?
And what? And I'll do it again! I'll do it again!
Do you know what? There's times where sometimes I'm like, maybe gatekeeping can be good. It's like, do you remember that girl that went viral for going, this metallic writing, right? And she was talking about Metallica t-shirt. Have you seen, there's a new one.
It's so funny where
a girl posted saying she's wearing a Blink-182 hoodie, and she's saying she went to or Blink-182 if you're in America, she went to church or something, and she's saying about how Travis Scott is in this band, and she didn't realise it was a band.
I think she was doing it ironically. Satire, and she was pretending not to know. But I tweeted being like, time is a circle. She's from Birmingham, shout out.
Everyone knows Blink-182. She just wanted to go viral and thought she'd do it as a laugh, and it worked.
It worked, and you know what? It was funny. It was so slay. I think it's funny. I also kind of don't care if people wear band shirts, even if they don't know the band. That's a hot take.
Yeah, that's where we'll argue. That's where we fall out.
Because I think for me, it's like, if you wear the band shirt and then more people are buying it, then there's more demand for it, so it's more accessible. So then band merch will be cheaper.
And I guess money towards the band. I will support anything that puts money in a band's pocket.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, mainstream people wearing it. And if you don't, it tends to be like bands like Motorhead, Nirvana, AC/DC, Rolling Stones. So just buy an Architects t-shirt. I'm wearing an Architects t-shirt right now. Buy a band that's like not got the mainstream stuff.
I've got a Korn shirt on right now.
Okay, I've got one for you, which I think is quite brilliant. Metal isn't, like, metal in quotations, isn't metal. Just call it death metal or some shit to make the distinction. People call shit like Black Sabbath metal. This is what someone posted on Reddit. I see your face, because that's exactly what I was thinking. And then someone's commented, Black Sabbath is metal. And then someone else said, metal is Black Sabbath. and I'm just like, what is going on when you're trying to gatekeep Black Sabbath out of metal?
There's so many metal purists. It blows my mind because, A, Black Sabbath is metal. They were, like, one of the first most prominent generically metal bands, right? Like, they weren't anything specific. But because of that, so many strains of metal trickled from that, like death metal, sludge metal, thrash metal, metalcore, K-metal. God, there's
grind,
so many.
Death, black, yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you wouldn't have any metal if it wasn't for bands like Black Sabbath.
You start gatekeeping so hard, you gatekeep the original bands from that. It's like being like, you can't, Queen isn't rock. Ugh, Queen is pop.
Do you want to hear the worst gatekeeping story I ever experienced?
Okay.
So I was at Reading Festival, which is a big festival here in the UK. And I was really, really stressed out because I mainly went with my friends who were all into indie rock, whereas I was into metal, and Slipknot were playing, so I went along, blah, blah, excited to see Slipknot. Slipknot pulled out. They couldn't play it anymore. So I was gutted. I was really sad. And I really wanted to, like, commiserate with a fellow metalhead, but all my friends weren't into metal. So I saw someone in a Metallica t-shirt, and I was a little bit drunk, you know. Saw someone in a Metallica t-shirt, and I went, threw up the horns, and I went, metal! Like that. Because, you know, people just shout at each other whilst walking past. Yasmin, I'm not even kidding. This guy turned to me and went, Metallica aren't metal. They're thrash.
Boo! Thrash what? Finish the sentence.
What?
Thrash what?
Thrash what?
Thrash what? Thrash punk? Thrash rock? No. Thrash metal. Boo!
Can you imagine? And I was just stood there like, I was so sad. I was just thinking, what is wrong with people? What is wrong with people?
Do you know, it's the worst. But then I was reading a interview with one of the Suicide Silence guys about how gatekeeping can be a good thing. And the guitarist...
Which guy was it?
The guitarist
Mark.
Of Suicide Silence.
Mark.
Mark? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Big beard.
In an interview with Guitar.com, Mark said, "My hot take is that gatekeeping makes the scene stronger." Backing up the statement, he reasons, "I know that sounds weird, but if you don't have people talking shit and saying this isn't that or this isn't that, you don't have the other side saying, yes, it is. Fuck you for even saying that. It creates a conversation that makes the scene stronger. I've seen that since I was young and I've become a part of that." Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because have you ever worked a job where you didn't like your boss? And
yeah.
I feel like a common enemy unites people. So maybe it is the unity of feeling like you're part of something that you have to protect.
Do you know when gatekeeping is sometimes a good thing? The common enemy of metal and rock in general, actually, is Machine Gun Kelly. And we're all united in our hate.
The way I was about to say Machine Gun Kelly!
We are all united in our hate towards him. Every fucking genre. We can all gatekeeping be, like, genre purists, but everyone comes together to hate on Machine Gun Kelly once in a while, and I think that's really fun of us. I like
the way
we've made that a hobby.
The way you'd see black metal fans hanging out with pop punky and emos, like the way everyone would just come together to go, yeah, yeah, we're all united on this.
I remember when Static Dress or Ollie Appleyard responded to a tweet of his and they got into beef, and like I saw every facet of the alternative community come together to defend Ollie Appleyard and be like, well, actually, fuck you. I don't even like Static Dress, but fuck you, Machine Gun Kelly. And I was like, yeah, man, that's so wholesome. Fuck that
so
guy.
So wholesome. That's the one time we all unite. I read an interesting article on... thepostathens.com, and someone was saying that they think the social media is likely to blame for the start of the gatekeeping culture within rock and metal. And I was like, yeah, seems legit. And then I thought about it and I thought, no, there was even gatekeeping before social media. There was a lot of it, but the difference was, I think if you saw someone into the music, you would try and convince them to get into heavier music. And that is literally how I got into listening to some of the heaviest bands that are out there, because I started by going into a shop to buy a CD. And I think I was buying like Green Day or something like that. And then somebody asked me, and they were like, are you into rock? And I was like, I think I was buying Fall Out Boy. And they said, actually, if you're into rock, you should check out these albums that have also come out recently. And they introduced me to AFI, and they introduced me all sorts. And then I made a friend who was like, oh, you like that music, you should listen to some heavier metal stuff. And then people just recommended stuff until I got into really heavy music. But I feel like we've lost that a little bit, and I want to see the return of that.
I'm conflicted because sometimes gatekeeping works, because when I was growing up, I was into alternative music when there was that like Warped Tour metalcore wave of like Pulse of Veil, Sleep with Signs, Bring Me the Horizon. And at the time, metalheads and emos loved to bash this like metal emo crossover because it wasn't emo enough, because it wasn't metal enough, and I was like so passionately defending it. But at some point I was like, okay, fuck it, I'll try and listen to what these guys are listening to. And I got into like Beartooth, Architects, even like some more like In This Moment, Butcher Babies. I really got into like Upon a Burning Body, a few like heavier metalcore and deathcore bands, Carnifex, Cannibal Corpse, Infant Annihilator, Angel Maker, and then I got into like Knuckloose and some hardcore bands, and it was kind of crazy because I wouldn't have done that if people hadn't have gatekept. I have something interesting.
Okay.
So, on March 1st, my birthday this year, Steve Byron, I think that's how you say it, Byron? Yeah, for Loudwire, wrote a piece called Not Metal Enough, A Psychological Perspective
I saw
on
that.
Gatekeeping. And it's actually really good. It's really, really good. So, Steve outlines, you know, different reasons why people gatekeep. So the biggest one is that people are insecure. Way back in the 1950s, a social psychologist noticed that it is incredibly easy to divide people into a group and into an in-group and an out-group. In ambiguous settings, we look to associate our peers that we can align with and those who are different. We saw this with kids at summer camp, the famous robbers experiment, but also with political beliefs, racial identity, and other social issues. It's just human nature to see people who are not like us as a threat. And then also some of us
have football teams.
Yeah,
some
of us have crappy social skills. I've met a lot of people in real life who claim to not be gatekeepers. Nobody really says they're a gatekeeper. We're inclusive. We want to show you what real music is. But their behaviour says otherwise. Interesting. And then also, maybe it doesn't actually happen. That was another thing he outlined. I propose a compromise here. Perhaps the problem of gatekeeping isn't actually much as a problem as we think it is. What if the elitist notions that not metal enough attitudes and that they haven't made music since blah, 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 blah are just a perception and not an accurate view of the current state of the scene? That's also true. This is a really
That is something very powerful.
This is a really good piece.
That is a really... Because that's something well I've done, always Steve. Said is that, like, people always say... oh, so-and-so keep making the same album. We don't want the same album. Like, and then bands evolve, and if you don't like the evolution, it's like, why don't you go back to the original? People are just... They just are never happy.
I think as well, do you know, social media and your social circles are an echo chamber of your own thoughts. So if you think that and you're seeing other people say that, it's because you're in that circle. Like, I like Bring Me the Horizon, and I'll see people sometimes tweet about how they wish Bring Me the Horizon were back to their old sound and so on and so forth. And that's because I'm in an echo chamber of people who listen to that music. But not everybody uses social media. I don't think all of the 20,000 people that go to see Bring Me the Horizon in concert all have social media. I think some of them don't. I don't think some of them tweet every single thought they have. So a lot of them will still like that band and support them regardless of what they do.
So I have got for you, Yasmin.
Okay.
That is a very good point, by the way. I've got something for you that I feel is hilarious.
Okay.
And it kind of ties in with a couple of the bands that you've mentioned. And this was a post that someone put up, I believe on Facebook. No, you're not a real metalhead. I'm so sick of all these people who think they're metalheads. No, you're not. Most of you... I'm not even close to being metalheads. I see these people saying, I just listened to the new Whitechapel album. It's great. That's nothing compared to Power Trip's Nightmare Logic and Tumult's Manor of the Infinite Forms. I see people who only listen to deathcore, metalcore, butt rock and claim to be metalheads. Come talk to me when you listen to real shit like Bolt Thrower, Exodus, fucking Slayer. Also, dear all posers. This is one for you.
Dear all posers.
Rings of Saturn is not real metal. Whitechapel is not real metal. Attila is not real metal. Suicide Silence is not real metal. Asking Alexandria, not real metal. But rock bands like 3 Days Grace, Breaking Benjamin, Seether, Five Finger Death Punch are not real metal. Put down the metalcore poser shit and listen to some real fucking metal, you posers. Sincerely, all of the actual metal heads.
Do you know what's crazy though? That is insane, right? That is insane. Some of those bands I agree with, though. I'm like, yeah, they're not metal.
Yeah, so I mean, Seether aren't like...
Ask Alexandra aren't really metal anymore. They've gone to, like, radio rock, no, and I respect it.
How can you say it's not metal when... Like, they were metalcore, whatever, but it's still metal just because you don't like it. Just because it's so far away from death metal or black metal, it doesn't mean it's not metal. Like, how can you say Suicide Silence aren't metal?
Right?
When Mitch is screaming, wake up! Like, how can you say?
One, so let's go fucking nuts.
Like, it's madness.
I know. I So what's interesting is I came up in that time. Like, I'm thinking about this now and it's sending back to when I was growing up, being a teenager, and people would say this to me. And so the first magazines and outlets I ever worked for were like metal magazines only, and I had to cover like thrash metal, symphonic metal, all of the metals, and it's really not my thing, but I covered it and I got into it, and I understand it and I respect it. It's just not my taste. I'm an emo kid till I die. But I think that community is so gatekeepy. It's so cringe.
It puts especially
me off getting into it.
Do you know what? That's the thing. It kind of put me off a lot of stuff, I won't lie. But then I ended up looking into it and I thought, well, people make out that gatekeeping is like a metal thing. So a metal and alternative music thing. So I did some research into whether it's just an alternative thing, and I found this. Taylor Swift fans are some of the biggest perpetrators of gatekeeping, and their rudeness has only intensified since the start of the singer's Eras tour, where many fans were upset to see young children attend the event. Now, this is according to the Post Athens.
Yep.
And it said, they claimed that these young fans don't know any of Swift's work except for her biggest hits such as Love Story and Shake It Off. Her fans have even gone to extreme lengths to defend the singer after criticism of her Eras tour garnered attention overnight. In an article by journalist Chris Pinella, he said Swift's fans accused him of being a paedophile after he criticised the tour, proving that the hate that can come from gatekeeping.
It's so crazy. Like, the craziest gatekeepers are like pop fans. It's just that metal fans are a lot louder. Pop fans are crazier, though. They are crazier.
Madness.
Oh my God, it's like if you weren't there for Taylor Swift's first album, you're basically dead to me. And it's like, I was there for Taylor Swift's first album. I don't like any of her new stuff. What now?
Do you know what? I found as well some examples of gatekeeping random things.
Okay.
Just to prove that gatekeeping is in every aspect of life and it's just not a metal thing. So somebody here posted, it's a conversation between two people, I think, on a dating app. So the first question is, are you white? And then the reply is, I guess so. But you ate at a Chinese restaurant. You realise Chinese restaurants are often used as local gathering spots for actual Chinese people, right? What makes you think that you have the right to barge in there and take up space in a place that should be safe space for people of Chinese heritage? And then the person replied, they have good noodles. And then the answer was, that doesn't answer the question. Do you know what cultural appropriation is?
Right. Shut the fuck up. As an Asian, I'm not Chinese, I'm not even East Asian. As an Asian, shut the fuck up. Like, sometimes gatekeeping like that genuinely does more harm than good. I really hate when people get on the high horse, because there is this like subset of gatekeepers who love to get on the high horse and be like, how did you not know about this problem going on in the world that has only been talked about 2 seconds ago? I was the first person to talk about it. I actually have tweeted about it loads, so like I'm better than everyone else, and if you don't know about it, I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm going to wait until you find out and then call you a bad person for not talking about it sooner. Those kind of people, you were the worst. You were the worst. As an Asian person, I want white people to go to Indian restaurants and stuff. Give me your money. What the fuck? Give me your money for a poppadom.
It was a great way for immigrants to make money as well a lot of first generation immigrants.
Hell fucking yeah. Oh my God. Chinese takeaways and Indian takeaways in the UK are the backbone of this society. They are the backbone of our culture. I will happily give my money any day to a Chinese takeaway or an Indian takeaway. On God!
I have another gatekeeping example for you, which I find amazing.
Okay.
So someone tweeted, 1 month cigarette free. And this went viral. Loads of tweets. Obviously, those people saying congratulations. It had like 6,300 likes.
Good God.
Somebody commented, 9 years, motherfucker. Congratulate yourself after 2 years minimum, capitals, or be prepared to start the loop again.
Shut up.
Imagine gatekeeping somebody who has quit smoking.
You're proud of your recovery? Shut the fuck up. Boo.
Okay, this
that's so stupid,
isn't it? Isn't it? Imagine not celebrating when someone's quit smoking.
That's so stupid. That
Do you know
so
who
stupid.
I think the worst gatekeepers are? And I will tell you after I've read this one, because I've had this more than metal gatekeepers in my life. So someone posted on their Facebook, I've got flu. Going to the kitchen is like walking for miles. My temperature is 39. I ache everywhere and I feel dreadful. Never, ever felt so bad. Who else is very ill with the flu right now?
Okay.
Comment. What the actual fuck? I've been visiting my mum in hospital every day for 3 weeks. She has kidney failure. She would love nothing more than to be able to walk around the kitchen, no matter how ill she was. Maybe if you didn't feel so sorry for yourself, you'd recover quicker.
Shut the fuck up!
Imagine gatekeeping.
Shut
being...
up!
So, the worst gatekeepers I was going to tell you, parents.
Oh
the
my
way
God.
The way parents. Parents gatekeep you saying you're tired. Like, I get it. I get it. This little bundle of joy that you're always talking about has not made you... You haven't slept in 6 months. But I am still tired because I had a late night. And that... Those two things are okay.
The amount
side
of
by side.
Bloggers who are like... You're tired. I just raised Brookhalen, Jacalyn, and Linda Evangelista all by myself. I made them breakfast this morning. I wiped the caca that they rubbed all over the walls. I taught them the entire dictionary. How dare you? And it's like, girl, nobody fucking asked. Okay, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But I didn't ask you to have three ugly kids. That was you who did that.
There is like, you are, the thing is, You chose that life, right?
You chose that life.
And you can be tired and you can be stressed and you can be overworked, but to try and take away from somebody else's experience of their own life is wrong. So running through some of these, there is a new security guarded mural in LA that only allows influencers with verifieds to take pictures in front of it. That's some gatekeeping. And I mean, there is absolutely everything you can imagine that people will gatekeep on the internet, because people on the internet are next level.
Yeah, I would like to end this with the national anthem for gatekeepers. Sophie, salute. Okay, you can't see us, but we're saluting. You say pink, we say black. You say Bieber, we say beer sack. You say emo, we say fallen angel. You say pop, we say rock. You twerk, that's cute, but we mosh. You have a fan group, we have a freaking army.
What is that?
That is the thing that all emos would post on their Facebook, being like, oh, I'm not like other people. I'm not a normie. I listen to emo. Grr. My music scares people. Grr. If you listen to pop music, you're lame. Grr. And it's like no one asked. Like, I get it. Emos were getting bullied. They had to stand up for themselves. But that is the cringiest shit ever. Cringiest shit.
I kind of want that on a t-shirt. I'm not even going to lie.
I want it tattooed. I want a back piece that says, you say pink. We
can
say
we
black.
Make,
you twerk,
can we make a wee wear? Can we make a We Wear Black t-shirt that says that somehow? Yes, it's happening. So words of wisdom, Yasmin. What are your words of wisdom?
Be open-minded, okay? Be open-minded. If you're going to go on the internet and complain 24/7, touch some grass.
My words of wisdom would be aware of who you're gatekeeping, because you might think Yasmin is an airhead who doesn't know what they're talking about. Yasmin is trolling you and you're falling for it. So
I love it.
You are the joke.
Genuinely, people think I'm just this airhead alt influencer who knows nothing. And it's like, if you actually took like 5 minutes to look at my long index of experience, you'd realise that I've worked in metal for like a good 2 years, working for shitty metal magazines, and interviewing metal bands that are like local metal bands, and then I went into rock, and then I went into emo, and now I'm an emo influencer.
You don't have to justify it. Like, the listeners of this podcast know what's up.
Baby, you can hate me all you want. Your favorite bands love me.
It's the same. Same goes for me. I just want to remind somebody that somebody tried to gatekeep a video I made about my boyfriend's band, and it was my boyfriend who told me the facts for the captions. And so whilst they whilst they were gatekeeping me, sat next to him watching TV, they made themselves look like an idiot in front of their favorite band. So before you gatekeep, just shut the fuck up and know who you are gatekeeping.
Is it worth it? Is it really worth it to argue about it on the internet? Is it really something worth gatekeeping? There are things worth gatekeeping.
Yep.
Is it really worth it? Ask yourself that before you type up that like 240 character angry message on Twitter.
There we go. Exactly. And that is and if you're getting gatekeeped and you're listening to this podcast, then just know that us, with all of our experience and all of that, we get it too. So you are not on your own.
So much.
Don't feel like you are alone. Don't feel like people dislike you. Don't take it personally, because you are part of our gang, and it's okay. Just laugh it off. They don't know what they're talking about.
If you want to follow us, you can follow us at We Wear Black Pod everywhere. I'm at Yasmin Subin X on everything.
And to find me, it's at I Am Sophie K.
Bye.
Bye. You were listening to On Wednesdays We Wear Black. Please rate and subscribe so that we can keep doing what we do. Special thanks goes out to the Nova Twins for the badass music and Wargasm for the killer screams. See you next week.